Welcome everybody to By Yahweh's Design Wednesday night's family get together, our little free conference call chat here. And it is the 13th day of September, year 2023. No real topic for tonight. It's going to be open forum. And so we're just going to sort of chat about different things going on here related to scripture and to other pertinent information that we see coming in across our inboxes and our desks on a daily basis. A lot of things going on. Again, we want to remind everybody, stay positive, stay focused. We're on the right team. Don't let what you see going on around you get you down. It's all meant to be. It's all part of the plan. And so just stay focused. Don't get into that dark area or allow the enemy to take away your joy, your joie de vivre, so to speak, which is French for joy of life. So with that, I'm going to go ahead and open up Ella's mic. And Ella, you got anything on your mind for tonight?
Oh, I got about 1,000 things on my mind. Pardon my voice. I think I'm developing a little laryngitis or something. So if I sound funny, that's why. I've been doing a lot of studying on, I sent you an article on polygamy, which pastors are teaching that there's no such thing as polygamy and that he never authorized it in the Old Testament. And then there are other pastors that say, well, he authorized it while the population was low in the Old Testament, but he changed in the New Testament for something different. But, you know, my Bible tells me that Yahweh does not change. What is in the Old Testament is true in the New Testament as well. So I got that going, if you want to ask anything about that. But then again, I've been studying on something that we all encounter, I think, every day here in the kind of a world we live in, and that's narcissism. We find that the most dominant attribute that a person has in their personality is coming out now, whether they be good or whether they be bad. Narcissists now are just, it seems like they're blooming, and it's getting very hard to deal with for some people. What do you have to say about that, Dan?
Well, I agree. It's a term I've only become aware of, I'd say, a few years ago. But the personality disorder known as narcissism, we just used to call it people being self-absorbed or arrogant, lack of empathy. We had a lot of different ways of saying it. Now they just lump it under narcissism. But yeah, it seems to be a true pandemic, unlike the fake one that they're using as an excuse for totalitarianism worldwide. But narcissistic behavior and narcissistic personality disorder, if you look up the textbook definition, it applies to quite a few folks. Surprisingly, even in my circles, amongst friends and family, we definitely have the narcissistic tendencies in quite a few of the people. So dealing with it is, it can be quite stressful, actually. There's a lot of warnings about it, a lot of, precautionary information that when you're dealing with somebody like that, it can be quite serious because they're, in some cases with severe narcissism, they are easily triggered, and in some cases they can become very violent because they tend to think of themselves as being perfect. And so anything that goes against that perfect image that they've created, they can get very upset and react to it. Back to you.
Yeah, I found that out, particularly family-wise. By the way, hi, Jeffrey, and welcome. Nice to see you here again.
Thank you.
Yeah, welcome, Jeff.
What do you have to say about that? Do you encounter any narcissistic behavior in your life, Jeffrey?
Yeah, a little bit. Every now and again. But
did nobody in your family have problems with?
Yeah, some of my a lot of my family are evangelical Zionist fundamentalists, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, and they're a little bit tough to deal with, and they can be narcissistic.
Although they're also called dispensationalists.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Assembly of God, Pentecostal.
Right, yeah.
I know, I was one for 20 years.
Yeah, I was too. My, in fact, I had my brother and his wife, they were here last week, and he's real active in his evangelical church, and him and I were talking a little bit. And he's pretty well indoctrinated in it, and he knows that I'm Christian identity, and he just, you know, he knows I've got a different look at everything from a different perspective, and he will listen, but he will let me know too that, well, I think you're wrong on that, you know. He's not afraid to say that, but he's
well,
my
you
brother.
Know, one good way of approaching it, I was a staunch dispensationalist until I met Dan about 6 years ago. And there were some pieces of the Bible that just did not fit. And I'm very adamant about having all the pieces fit. If they don't fit, they don't belong. And the only piece that did not fit was Adam and Eve were not procreators of Muhammad Ali and me at the same time. So where did the black races come from? And then the dispensationalists teach, well, goodness sakes, they came from Noah. So Noah had Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and Shem was the Oriental, Japheth was the white people, and Ham was the black people. But then again,
yeah.
If you read Genesis, I think it's Genesis 6:9, the reason why Yahweh picked Noah was because he was perfect in his generations. And if you research that, it meant that he did not race mix. That's
right.
What Yahweh told us never to do. So if Noah did not race mix, then all his sons must have been white because he was. So then the question is, where did all the other races come from? And the only answer to it is identity, going back to the
Canaanites.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Oh, I've had some real lengthy conversations with him. We went archery hunting here a few years back, and it was like a 3-hour drive to get there and 3-hour drive to get home. And we got on the subject of the two seed line doctrine. And the evangelical fundamental Zionists, they will not accept that at all. And he just pretty much told me, he says, well, he's like, you're getting all mixed up. He says, you moved to Idaho, and ever since you moved to Idaho, he says, you've come up with some real strange ideas. And
well, you know, you can't take one verse from the Bible and make a doctrine out of it. And so take Genesis 3:15 and say, oh, I'm a one seed liner. Oh, no, I'm a two seed liner. Because that's not the Bible. It's one verse. Look at around the world. You have black people, white people in between, mixed people, Arabs, Chinese, Mongolians, Alaskans, and all that. There's a heck of a lot more than just even two seed lines in this world. So you can't really go by just one doctrine. And, you know, the dispensationalists believe that the Jews are the chosen people of God, the Zionists. But if they read Bible history, they would know that in the original Bible, the word Jew was not even in it. It was not put into the Bible until the mid-1700s. So there was no Jew. Never. In the Old Testament, the Jews had nothing to do with the Bible. They didn't write it. And actually, the Jews stemmed, if you go back enough, from the line of Cain, which goes back to the seed liners. But the Jewish people themselves are not a race because they're mixed with everything. They have no
definite
seed line. So they can't say they come from anybody.
Yeah.
Go ahead, I'll yield.
Yeah, I went through a lot of that with him, and he's not the only brother I have that's a fundamentalist. I have three other brothers, and they're all staunch fundamentalists. I call them EZs, EZ as Evangelical Zionists. You know, they all believe that Jesus was a Jew and that the Jews were the Israelites of the Old Testament.
How can Jesus have been a Jew when part of their doctrine is they hate Jesus? Jesus can't hate himself.
I told him, I said, I'm Christian. I said, I believe Christian identity message is the truth. I said, we teach that Jesus Christ was not a Jew and that the Jews are not the Israelites of the Old Testament, and that Zionism and what happened in 1948 when they took over Palestine, I said, that is not a fulfillment of the Jews coming back to their homeland. So
you're spot on.
It gets pretty heated, and at the end of the day, he's like, well, you know what, you're my brother, and I still love you, and we're not going to let this ruin our relationship as far as talking to one another. And I told him, too, I said, you can believe what you want to believe. It's free. It's free country. We have freedom of religion here, but this is what I believe the truth is, and I'm sticking to it. And I said, I've sent him a lot of information, over email, and he looks at some of it, and some of it is hard to argue with. But
when Yeshua even said when he came, he did not come to start a new religion. That's what he called the Nicolaitans in Revelation. I think it's 2:6 or 2:9. He hates the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. And what that is, that's just exactly what every other religion in all over the world does. They have a pastor up in front of the congregation teaching the Bible. And that's not what we're supposed to do. For one thing, the people of identity or Yahweh's people are not supposed to meet together with unbelievers. They met in homes, in caves, and things like that. And even in the New Testament, there was never the word church in there, because church is a word of it means circle, and that's what the Jews are. They're the circle. So if you go to a church, you're going to a Jewish organization. But it's the fact that the assembly of Yeshua are only the Israelites that came from the line of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I'll give you go ahead.
Yep, that's exactly what I believe and what I've learned. I've learned a lot since I stepped away from fundamentalism and evangelical Zionism. And a lot of new things, that I've learned that are truthful, like things that we just spoke about. But my brothers, it's like they're all stuck in a rut. I mean, they don't have anything new to say. They haven't learned anything new. And I think this is just par for the course for these guys that get caught up in this evangelical Zionism. And, he thinks that when the Messiah does come back, he's going to, that he's coming back to Jerusalem over there in the Palestine area, where where the so-called Jews have been regathered in their new, back in their old country. But I was trying to tell him that we don't believe that in Christian identity. I said, the biggest problem with you guys is that you misidentify who God's chosen people are. And as long as you're caught up in misidentifying who the Israelites and who God's chosen people are, you're never going to be able to understand end time events, eschatology things. So
the one thing they don't want to give up is the rapture.
Because if they
give up dispensationalism, there goes the rapture, there goes their hope for getting out of here.
Yeah.
And that's not going to happen.
They're all into multiculturalism and I can't think of the word right now, but it will come to me in a minute.
Like the melting pot?
Yeah, where salvation is for everybody.
Oh, universalism.
Anybody, that's the word I was looking for, universalism. And if you talk to them about anything other than that, they look at you like you are just totally off the wall.
I know what you mean.
And then you don't hardly dare talk to them about the exclusivity doctrine. You know, it's just, it's pretty amazing that what these people believe, but
let's hear from you on that.
Yeah.
Well, you're right. People don't like to have their paradigms punctured, their comfort zones punctured. They will resist with everything they've got because, one, their egos won't allow them to admit that they've been fooled. And so they hang on, and plus they're cowards inside. They don't want to have their congregations where their friends are and their neighbors. They're scared to death that they'll call them names or they'll disassociate with them. So, you know, that again, that's one of the things that Scripture says Father hates is a coward. And a lot of these dogmatic Protestants and Catholics, at the heart of it all, they're cowards. Because you can present the facts to them, and if they're actually truth seekers, which most people in the gatherings that I went to, most of the people there were ex-Catholics. So I do give a lot of Catholic people credit that they have the courage that once they were confronted with the truth, they walked away from it. And there's still millions, of course, that are trapped in it, but there's also millions that walked away from it. So, you know, that's the biggest thing I know is you're either a truth seeker or you're not. You're into the game, or as Christ would say, they have a form of godliness but deny the power thereof.
Perfect.
So they pay lip service to truth and lip service to the master when their heart is far from him, because again, Scripture tells us to accept all things and keep that which is good, which is just a biblical way of saying keep an open mind, be willing to discuss things, and keep that which is good, meaning that which matches the moral code that Yahweh left us, that which matches empirical evidence, that which matches historical evidence, and the Holy Spirit testifies to. Well, anybody with a brain should be able to see that multiculturalism is wrong on every level possible.
Tower of Babel.
It's just wrong. It doesn't work. You're mixing oil and water. That's why the Bible very clearly says kind after kind, which means race mixing is wrong. The whole idea of multiculturalism means that even though Christ said that you should stick to the faith even unto death. And he said, don't be unequally yoked. While they're teaching, it's okay to be out there with the Muslims and the Jews and the Shintoists and everything. It's okay. We're all one big happy family. That's funny. Christ said, if you love anything on this earth more than me, you don't deserve me. Nothing in his writings or nothing in his teachings says that multiculturalism is what he wanted. Absolutely nothing in there says that. And yet that's what they hang on to because, again, they're cowards. They want to go along to get along. They don't want to lose their job. They don't want to lose their job at the church as a deacon or a bishop. They don't want to lose face with their neighbors. They don't want their children to look at them funny. They don't want their family to call them names. They're cowards. We all have them. I've got members of my family that are cowards. All of us do. They just don't. They're not actually truth seekers. They really aren't.
One of the main things that they do, I noticed when I went to a dispensationalist church, the Assembly of God. I think I told you the story once a long time ago, Dan, that I had a good friend that I sat next to every week. And it was new to me, and I thought everything that the pastor taught was truth. And then after about a year of going there, my friend just came in one day very excited. She says, I finally made it. I got the evidence. I says, what are you talking about? And she says, the evidence of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. I learned how to talk in tongues. I said, you what? She says, I talked in tongues. I said, you mean that gibberish that the pastor talks? She says, yeah. I says, can you understand him? She says, no, because it's private. Only the angels understand. I says, well, why do you do it? She says, because that's the initial sign that you are indwelled by the Holy Spirit. And I said, oh, I didn't know that. So I went home that week and I studied my Bible. I read it and I looked at it and everything. I couldn't find anything in there about that. And I thought, well, maybe if I try hard enough, I can do it. So I just think, you know, oh, come on, let me speak it. Let me talk the talk of the angels. And I couldn't do it. And I went back next week and I told her it won't come to me. And she says, well, you just don't have the Holy Spirit in you. And the week after that, she sat in a different place. I was ousted because I couldn't talk in tongues.
Right. Well, it's kind of funny. The scripture says there are, what, 7 gifts of the Spirit? But the only one they think that matters is talking in tongues.
Well, there's one scripture, I think it's 1 Corinthians either 12, I think. It talks about the gifts of the Spirit and says, do we all do this? Are all teachers or all ministers, do all talk in tongues? And the answer is no.
Right.
So, and besides, in Acts chapter 2, I think, where they're talking about talking in tongues, it's when the apostles were speaking, the crowd heard them in their own native language. That's because at that time in Jerusalem, all the countries from around there had to come and sign up for the census and pay their taxes. So there was all kinds of crowds there from different countries and nations and everything, people different language speaking and all that. But when they heard the apostles speaking, they heard them in talking in their own tongues. And what it is, you heard them in your own languages. It didn't mean that you stood there and you could babble from your mouth about something that doesn't make any sense. And the Bible also says that if you speak in tongues, you have to have an interpreter. And I've never been to an assembly's church that there was somebody there when the pastor started or whatever they're talking about, that someone stood up and said, this is what he's saying. I've never heard that. I yield.
Yeah, the tongues, well, I went to Assemblies of God for a couple of years as well. And I'm not saying it doesn't exist, because there's a lot of things that have happened to other believers that have not happened to me. So that just because it didn't happen to me doesn't mean it doesn't exist. However, I've been part of church gatherings where people want to make things like talking in tongues a sign that you're a spirit-led person, and then if you can't speak in tongues, they'll take that to mean that you're not. I've actually had a lady one time say that to me. My brother introduced me to her and said he's a very spiritual man. She started speaking in this gibberish, and I just looked at her, and she goes, "You don't know what I'm saying?" I said, "Of course I don't know." So how would I know what you're saying? Well, she said, "Your brother said you're a spiritual man." I said, "I am a spiritual man." "Well, then why can't you speak in tongues?" I said, "Because I've got other gifts, and the gifts that I have, I consider more important than speaking in tongues. That's my take. If the Father wanted me to speak in tongues, I'd speak in strange languages." And there, again, the Greek word for tongues means languages. That's just another way of describing a language. Nothing in there says that it's a language that's only understood by angels. I haven't seen it anyway. It's just a different language. Okay? So again, a lot of people take it different ways. Some people get upset about it. But like I've told them, I said, you know, why are we stressing over one of the numerous gifts that the Father can give somebody? Why is one more important than another? Okay, being able to speak in public is a gift. Being able to have a good memory and speak off the cuff to other people, that's a gift. Being able to help people heal their bodies is a gift. Why is any one of them more important than the other? That's where I get upset. I get upset when somebody thinks their gift is more important than the gifts that other people have. And so I've been in confrontational meetings with people over the years over those issues. I look at it as we're in the time of Malachi chapter 4, which is this is the time for the brethren to come back together as a family. And that's what I dedicated this ministry to. Many years ago, 24 years ago exactly, is get us to start thinking like family members, because we've been broken apart by the enemy. And that's one of the things that divides us, issues like that. And to me, anything that divides the family is something to be looked at with a lot of concern, because we should be coming back together. And if we allow issues like this to divide us, then we're doing just the opposite of what our Father wants. Because we are at the end of the age. We are in Malachi 4 territory. And so we got to be doing just the opposite. We got to be finding reasons to have fellowship and look out for each other, not looking for reasons to divide us. Even in Proverbs, it says one of the things that he hates, and they use that word, hate, is anything that causes discord amongst the brethren. So, you know, that's why I say put it in the right perspective. And we need to stop criticizing each other over whatever gifts they're given. But the people that do speak in what they call the language of the angels, I've always said, if you're going to do that, like in an assembly, it does say that somebody should be there to interpret, because what's the meaning of that speaking in tongues if nobody knows what you're saying? Why would you speak it in public if nobody's meant to hear it? That would be something for private prayer, where only you and the angels can hear it, apparently. But if you're going to speak it in the congregation or in public, then somebody should be able to interpret, or it's meaningless. That's how I look at it anyway. I'm getting a little bit of a sore throat too. I wonder if something's going on. Anyway, I yield.
You brought up Malachi chapter 4. I was listening to, I listened to a podcast every now and again. I haven't heard him for a while, and he lives close by me, just right down here in Wyoming. He's a retired colonel, and his name is Roy Potter.
Oh, yeah, I know him.
Oh, yeah, I know him.
Yeah, I like him. He's a pretty good guy. In fact,
he's a polygamist too.
Yeah, he used to be LDS.
Well, he's a polygamist, and that's actually very biblical. I just finished an article on that, so I give him a lot of kudos for what he does.
He's a pretty smart individual, and he was talking one time, and he's the one that showed this verse to me, and I never even noticed it before, but it's in Malachi chapter 4, and it's verse 2, and it reads like this. It says, but unto you that fear my name shall the Son, S-O-N, of righteousness arise with healing in his wings.
Mm-hmm.
And he was saying that word Son, Scofield and all the evangelical Zionists claim that that's a reference to the Messiah, you know. But he says that word is Shemesh, and what that means is that is the bald, our son, our literal son. And he claims that son is going to arise with healing in its wings to deliver Yahweh's people in the end times.
Wow.
And then he went on to explain how that could actually be making reference to what's called a CME, a coronal mass ejection from the sun that would send out these rays towards the earth, very similar to what happened here in 1859. There was a huge CME that happened in 1859, which, you know, that's been 150 years ago. And there was a scientist by the name of Carrington. It's named after him. I think he was from Europe, and he spotted it through a telescope. And this CME in 1859 that blew off the sun came right into the to Earth in the northern hemisphere, and it was so strong that it was recorded that they seen the aurora borealis clear down as far as Ecuador and Mexico. And the only power that we had, the only electronics that we had in 1859, was the telegraph cables that run alongside the railroad tracks, the wires, wires came into the little telegraph offices and on top of the tables where they had the telegraph machines. And a lot of those caught fire and it smoked all the wires. They had to replace all the wires. And they claim that it never got dark, really dark for days. And that farmers could actually go out in the southern United States and read their papers on their front porches at 3 and 4 o'clock at night. So, and he claims that if something of that magnitude were to happen again in our day and age now, that it could it would wipe out all electronics everywhere. You wouldn't even be able to turn your TV on to get an emergency broadcast system from the government. You wouldn't be able to go out and start your car. You wouldn't have no electronics at all, period. Nothing. Nobody would have no electronics.
Well, man has the capability of doing that today.
Yeah, and he claimed
electromagnetic pulse.
Yeah. If one of those was detonated up in space,
are you talking about a bomb? No, we don't have outer space. There's no such thing as outer space.
If somebody detonated a nuclear bomb 30,000 or 40,000 feet up, or up high enough where the satellites are, It would wreak havoc on all of our communities.
They've already tried that back in, I think, in the 1950s or early 60s. They've tried to get through the firmament. If you read Genesis 1, 5, 6 and 7, it tells that there's a firmament above the earth that separates the waters above from the waters below. There's no outer space. There's just a firmament above us. And Genesis 1, 16, 17 says that's where the sun and the moon are, within the firmament. So,
right.
So what they tried to do way back then was set off some kind of a bomb to try to break through the firmament, and Hillary Clinton called that the glass ceiling, that they anticipate someday they're going to get through the glass ceiling, which meant the firmament above, but nobody has ever been able to do it. So
no, but so, but a CME coming off the sun can come the reverse way and break through it and come right down on Earth.
I think Yahweh is in total charge of that, and I don't think he has built the sun, which rotates around the, if you've ever seen the flat earth map, with the kind where Antarctica is around the edges. We don't live on a globe, so we don't have all the restrictions that a globe would permit us. You know, we have this land beyond Antarctica that people have never seen, which completely disavows climate change, the globe, outer space, and all that kind of thing. So I don't think anything that comes from above the firmament can ever affect us here on Earth, because Yahweh is in charge of that, totally.
Well, what about a CME coming in like it did in 1859? I mean, that affected...
Nothing has ever come in through the firmament to the Earth, ever.
But you guys are arguing apples and oranges, okay? So what happened in the 1800s happened below the firmament. The firmament is many, 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 many miles above us. So there's a lot of things that can happen within the firmament, and people think it's space, but it's still within the firmament, because the firmament is a long ways up there. And within
the
firmament, many of these things can happen. So you're both right, but what you're arguing different points. Your different points, because within the firmament there are phenomena that can happen. It's not because the sun is a great big ball of helium, 92 million miles away. No, that part's not true. But there is a ball in the sky. There is a light that has an intense rays. I feel them when I'm out in the yard mowing the grass.
Yeah.
So the point of it is, we can have phenomenons even within the firmament. So you're both right.
Are you saying the sun then is within the firmament?
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I
believe that.
He said, "I'm putting the lesser light and the greater light in the skies above in the firmament, as well as those little twinkling things we call stars." Those are all within the firmament, because what's on the other side of firmament, we have no idea. We've never been there. I've looked through telescopes at stars, and it's exactly as the Bible describes. It looks like a little light on the other side of a glass full of water. It's exactly what it looks like. It doesn't look anything like what textbooks have. Mm. And the same thing for the moon and the sun. They don't look anything at all like what the textbooks have. And here's another thing. Anything in space 92 million miles away, you can't see it. That's a lie. It's impossible to see it.
I believe that.
Okay, so everything about NASA, in fact, the word NASA in ancient Hebrew means lying and deceiving to lead people away from the truth. The same exact word that in the Greek language is planetes, where we get the word planet. So NASA is the acronym for the space agency, but it's pronounced exactly like that ancient Hebrew word, which means deception. And the word that we give to planets is the same word in Greek that means exactly the same thing, to lead people from the truth. So isn't it odd that the agency and the things called planets are both from languages, ancient languages, it means to lead people from the truth by deception. And that's exactly what it is. I mean, we got to think about this. If there was a train 3,000 miles away coming at you, would you be able to see it? If it had a big bright light on the front of the train, would you be able to see it on a flat plane 3,000 miles away? The answer is no. It's called the vanishing point. Yeah. Beyond the vanishing point, you don't see anything. It doesn't matter how bright it is, how big it is. It doesn't matter. It's beyond the vanishing point, which is much closer than 92 million miles. And here's the other thing. Just the other day, I was outside with a neighbor, and I pointed up and I said, take a look at that cloud. The sun was behind the cloud, and the rays of the sun were going out at an angle, as if it was a light, a lantern or whatever, just on the other side of that cloud. I said, can you explain to me how that object, 92 million miles away from this little tiny ball and this little tiny, tiny cloud on the little tiny ball, why aren't the rays of light in parallel? Why are they going out as if it's radiating from an object just on the other side of the cloud? Explain that to me. Now, they'll say all kind of stuff, just like liars in the church, liars in medicine, and liars in government always. Oh, it's a mystery. Or it's like the Coriolis effect. Or it's this effect. It's just a mystery. That's just the way it is. Or it's refraction. They've got 1,000 excuses when it's not the truth at all. If it were actually 92 million miles away, every ray of light hitting this earth would be parallel. In other words, any object in our sky, the shadow on the ground would be parallel. It would be exact duplicate of it. There would be no rays going out to the side. So it's just like the ancients believed and the scripture describes. These are objects that the Father put in the heavens. That's why they're in the same place. Thousands of years later, all those little specks of light are almost in the exact same spot. If the earth was a ball spinning around a ball that's spinning around bigger balls, spinning around a galaxy that's spinning around other galaxies at multitudes of millions of miles per hour, these little dots of light would be all over the place. But every year, every season, the dots are in this exact same place. In fact, the northern star doesn't move at all. Virtually not at all. That's why it was always used as a point of navigation. The northern star stays in the same spot practically all the time. So again, it's all a deception. And I guess I got off on a tangent there, but I was just trying to say, you guys are saying the same thing, just from a different point of view. So,
well, I'd like to add one thing to that, Dan. There's a thing called that miracle of Fatima, or Fatima, or however you pronounce it.
Yeah, Fatima, right.
The sun came out of the sky and bounced along the earth and everything. And people actually believe that, but that cannot happen. It must have been some kind of an outside source, or somebody did something to do something. I don't know what it was, but it was not the sun coming out of the sky. That I know.
Right.
So there's a lot of those deceptions. We don't know what went on 200-300 years ago, because our history has been so hidden from us and lied about that we don't have a clue what happened 300 years ago, the truth. Because most people don't know about Tartaria, the nation of Tartaria. It's gone. And what happened to it? Something about the mud floods. So mud floods happened on this earth. And you can research that on Google it, mud floods of Tartaria, and you're going to hear stuff you never heard before in your life. Something that's been hidden. They found books in a library that one person standing up was the same size as the book. Does this mean that the earth was inhabited by giants? They say so, but we don't know. So we don't know anything what happened about 500 years ago to 300. Or anything, history has been so concealed and perverted that we just have, you know, that saying, he who does not know history is doomed to repeat it. Well, we don't know history. None of us do, because the truth has not been told. I'll yield.
Well, that's why we have to focus on the here and now. That's why I tell people, it's fun to debate. We can have all kind of debates about theories of this theory, that theory, et cetera, but when you get right down to it, we got to focus on what we know, what we can see, what we can feel, what we can touch in the here and the now.
Yeah.
And we can debate about that other stuff later on, but right now we got an enemy walking this earth hell-bent on destroying all of us, destroying our culture, our race, our families, our children, our economies, our neighbors. They want to destroy it all. That's obvious. It's happening real time, right in front of our face. And I think we should focus on dealing with that situation rather than the debates that everybody has about things that may or may not have happened thousands of years ago. What day is the Sabbath? How many years old is the earth? Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. What does that have to do with the enemy that's trying to kill me today? That's what I'm
and
trying to get
also,
people to
understand. Also, people have to realize what's going on. Jeffrey, do you know anything about Project Bluebeam?
I've heard of that, but I haven't really looked into it or studied it. No.
I mean, you've heard of chemtrails, haven't you?
Yeah, I know a little bit about chemtrails.
Yeah, barium, aluminum, strontium, and that. What they've done with the chemtrails, they've made a huge movie screen in the sky. So that Project Bluebeam is to someday make us think that we're being invaded by outer space aliens or the rapture or something like that. They can actually broadcast images into the sky to make us actually believe that something that is not going on is going on. So there's going to be a lot of deception coming along. So if you're looking up to the sky thinking that this is coming and that's coming, just watch out, because I don't know, what is it, Luke 21:26 says, men's hearts failing them for fear of those things coming upon the earth. And that fits Project Bluebeam to a T.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's something to just think about.
Yeah, we got Jeremiah's got his hand up. Go ahead, Jeremiah.
Yeah, I was just wanting to add to that is they could be lying, because they know we will go after this or that conspiracy theory. We don't know what technology they actually have, whether they can actually broadcast something on the sky or not, or they created that to lead us into that, so we're looking for it. But as long as we're on guard, we're on guard. But we don't know what of this technology they claim to have, they actually have, or whether or not it's a bunch of lies to get us looking at that while they're doing something else.
Yeah, much like the nuclear bomb thing, which
I have seen images where they have taken a basketball court and thrown these images in the middle of the basketball court and made it actually seem like there are actually whales and dolphins jumping up out of the floors in water. They look absolutely real. So I have no doubt they can do something.
I've seen the technology. I know the technology is there. But whether or not they can actually project it on such a large scale to make people think God is coming from the sky and can be seen all around the earth, that I have a little trouble believing, but I have seen it on small scales and even somewhat large scales in which they projected a show on an entire building and let people watch this building fall apart and burn and look like the building vanished. I've seen what some of the technology can do. I'm not saying the technology doesn't exist. What I'm saying that what they might be lying about is the Project Bluebeam in being such a massive use of their technology to project it on the entire dome. I don't know if they have that type of technology.
Well, so that's just the part thing. We don't know what they have. We don't know what they're lying about, what they're telling the truth about. It's just like with germs and diseases and viruses. There's no such thing as a virus. Viruses don't make people sick. If you've ever read about terrain theory versus germ theory, you find out the truth about that people don't get sick by someone sneezing on them or coughing on them or by germs on their hands, they get sick because their body is not kept healthy enough to offset a toxin.
So, I've actually tried reading Dr. Bichamp's book, Blood and the Third Anatomical Element. It's a little too advanced for me, but I know quite a bit about his theory and his belief in terrain theory. And I've even went back to scripture and I realized God has never once used or spoken of any type of contagion. Whenever he spoke of plagues, the word plague, you could just insert the word many, such as a plague of frogs, many frogs.
You're right. You're
never
right.
Did an invisible ghost thing in the air to infect people. Plague was always a physical element.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And even when he used the word leprosy, it was for sin. It was for deterioration of not the physical body, but the mental body. Although the disease exists itself, it's not caused by a contagion. I don't know what it is. I haven't studied that far into it. But there's so much more in the Bible that we don't know. We just haven't taken the time to check, to find out everything. You could be on a deserted island for 5 whole lifetimes and never be able to know everything the Bible says. I'll yield.
Well, that's why he wants us to work together and learn line upon line, precept upon precept, as a team. It's a team effort. Again, why Malachi and other scripture talks about the fact that we are to operate as a team, as a family of people, and share our knowledge and work to the good of all to seek out the truths, okay? He already knows the truth. The question is, do we? And are we willing to put our egos to the side and search out these matters? I know some people don't like talking about the shape of the earth. They get offended by that. Some people don't like talking about circumcision. They get offended by that. Other people don't like talking about patriarchal family and polygamy. They get offended by it, okay? I'm of the mindset that truth is truth. It doesn't matter. If you're offended by it, that's your problem, not mine. All I care about is what is true. What does my Father in Heaven want taught and what works? Because the truth will work. All I know right now is circumcision provides absolutely no benefit to mankind, none whatsoever. It is a form of mutilation. It's practiced by heathens, such as the Arabs and the Jews. So why in the hell are we doing it? Okay, the same thing could be said about marriage. The Catholic Church's version of marriage is monogamy only, and guess what? It ain't working, is it, folks? All right? But nobody wants to talk about what the Bible and the Holy Spirit says that God wanted. Our Heavenly Father, what did He want? He wanted everybody to have the right to do either celibacy, monogamy, or polygamy, all three of them, because everybody's different. He allowed all three versions for his people. And when that was allowed, there was harmony. And we're trying to live the Catholic version, which comes out of the mind of a Jew, and we wonder why everything's falling apart, but not one person wants to sit around going, well, you know, maybe we should be having patriarchal families like they did thousands of years ago under God's law, and we became a very populous people. We were happy. We created civilization, many inventions. We helped all kinds of people on the earth. Nobody says that. Instead, it's, well, my aunt and uncle don't believe in it, Dan, so, you know, and my preacher says it's blasphemy, and oh my God, that's all they talk about. Well, you know, if I said that to my wife, she'd get pissed off. Well, who do you worship, the God of creation or your wife? Or your brother-in-law? Or your mom and dad? Last time I checked, Scripture says that Christ himself said, if you love something more than me, then you don't deserve me. And what did he say he was? The truth. So if you don't love the truth, then stop pretending. That's what I tell people. Stop pretending to be a member of his kingdom. Stop pretending to believe in Scripture. Stop pretending to believe in the Creator who set everything in motion and gave us the rules. Stop pretending. I yield.
Oh, you're right, Dan. Like I said in the beginning, I just redid a heavy-duty research on polygamy. And almost every link that you checked on the internet, there was somebody that said, polygamy is not biblical. Or they'd say, well, polygamy was okay in the Old Testament because there weren't that many people. But then when the earth was populated, God changed his mind and he went to monogamy in the New Testament. Well, that's a lie because there are many scriptures in the Bible that say God has he does not change his mind. He doesn't turn around and from one thing and then say another thing in the opposite way. What is true in the Old Testament is true in the New Testament, except for the shadows he uses. Like, for instance, the shadow of people thinking that anybody who believes is a part of the bride of Christ. And that can be proven untrue by the shadow in the Old Testament of Adam and his wife Eve. Adam had his bride, Eve, but the bride was not his whole body. The bride came out of his body. And it's the same thing with Yeshua. The bride of Yeshua will not be the whole body of Yeshua. It will be the bride will come out of the body of Christ. That's who Yahweh is now determining what's going to be happening when he is separating the wheat from the chaff, the sheep from the goats. And Yahweh is picking out Yeshua's bride. Well, Yahweh and Yeshua are the same person. They're both God. And Yeshua's bride will come out of the body, but the dispensationalists believe that everybody is the body of Christ if they're a believer, and they'll all be taken up as the bride of Christ. And they're very much mistaken in that belief. I'll yield.
Yeah, there's a lot of error being talked about today. And again, if people would just read the book and go to their prayer closet, which just represents any private part of your home or wherever, where you can have some peace and quiet, where you can relax, either reclining or sitting in a chair, whatever, get comfortable, and tune out the world. No electronics, no screaming children, no nagging wife, just you and the Father and the Holy Spirit witnessing to you. How many people do that? Why don't they take advantage of real-time communication with our Father? He established it. Why don't they use it? Why do we sit around arguing and debating all this stuff that could or could not be true? We don't really know. We weren't there. While we have a real-time communication method, and very few people are using it. I don't understand that. In other words, if you had a radio sitting in front of you and you could turn to a certain channel and it was Radio Yahweh out of Birmingham, Alabama, why would you not tune your radio to that channel and hear what he's got to say? Why would you tune him out and go listen to Howard Stern or Jimmy Swaggart or any other charlatan out there? Or the mainstream media, or the government, or anybody else. Why would you listen to that when you can tune the dial in your prayer closet right there to Radio Free Yahweh and hear what he's got to say? The Spirit testifies to the truth. And almost nobody's talking about that. Instead, they want to debate, endlessly debate, every little nuance of Scripture, dogma, theories. And again, what's the definition of a theory? Okay, why are we arguing about any theory? A theory is just that, a theory. Go look at the dictionary definition of a theory. It's a point of view. It's a conjecture. It doesn't mean there's proof. It's a theory. And yet, I know people will separate congregations and fellowship, neighbors, family members, based on circumstantial evidence, theories, etc. I don't get it. I sit there and just shake my head. It's like, what the hell's going on here? I told a family member earlier today, I said, you know, if I was Yahweh, I think I'd have pushed the button a long time ago and just flushed us right down the toilet as a people. I hate to say that, but look at the zombies we've got. Look at the narcissists we've got. Look at the self-absorbed little pansies we've got. The cowards, the cretins, the miscreants. Our race has sunk so freaking low, it's unbelievable. And because we've sunk low, the other races have sunk even lower. So that the world does not even begin to resemble what he intended it to be. I'm shocked that he hasn't pushed that button and just flushed us already. He's not a liar, and he can't do it because he promised he wouldn't. But he's got to be tempted to, because I sure as hell would be myself. It's ridiculous. The things we say and do on a daily basis are beyond ridiculous. Just like Jeffrey was talking about the evangelicals and the Pentecostals, etc., and their dogma. They want to defend that dogma in spite of all the evidence that says it's just garbage. And it doesn't work. That's the whole thing. If the world was a big happy paradise and everything was working, I would see where they'd want to hang on to it. But take a look around, people. It's not working. Go ahead, Ella.
I'll put my hand down. Okay. What I wanted to do is make sure Jeffrey knew that when he talks to the relatives of the dispensationalists and everything, that universalism is not a biblical concept, because he says in Matthew 15:24, I am only sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Yeshua said that. And also in Matthew 10:6, when he sent his disciples out to preach to other people, he didn't say go out to all the world. He said go out to only the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And that's in Matthew 10:6.
Mm-hmm.
So Matthew 15:24 and Matthew 10:6 both say that this is not universalism. Everybody in the world is not going to be saved or receive redemption or anything that they believe they're going to receive from Yahweh. When Yeshua talks about, in I think in Matthew 25:31 or somewhere around there, he says he's separating the sheep from the goats. When he's talking about the sheep from the goats, he's talking about how the other nations of the world treat the Israelites. Those nations that are helping the Israelites in their journey through this earth will receive a reward from Yeshua and Yahweh. But those people who are the goats and put on the left hand are the ones that said, you're not the Israelites, the Jews are the Israelites, we'll treat them well, but, you know, fie on you if you're just a believer and you don't go to church and all that, who are the real people of Yeshua. Those are the people that are called goats. So people don't understand that there are separations. The people he called goats, people he calls tares, the people he calls wheat, they're all different. They don't mean the same thing. And people don't spend enough time reading their own Bible and asking the Holy Spirit for discernment of what the truth is. So I just encourage people to do that more. I yield.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Thank you. And I've got those two verses marked in my Bible. And I believe that. Yeah. My brother was telling me that he goes down to Panama with his church every year, and they go down there and on a mission effort to try to convert these Panamanians, and he's really big into stuff like that. And It's just something that I'm totally against, and he knows that. So
no missions to go to Africa and everything, because those people are not to be converted, because they can't be. Most of the missionaries that go to convert the cannibals end up as lunch.
Yeah. It took me a long time to figure that out and to understand that, but I understand that now, and I believe that to be true. But it's pathetic at where we are. We're definitely living in very perilous times, right at the end times, and it's just going to be. We do definitely know that Babylon the Great is going to fall to its knees.
Amen.
And, it's going to happen.
Hopefully sooner.
Yeah, it's going to happen. There's a lot of stuff that we're going to experience just in our own country here over the next year and a half with this election and stuff coming up. It's getting pretty hot and heated. And I was listening to Tucker Carlson, some of the podcasts that he's done over the past few weeks just recently, and he claims that he's afraid that he doesn't think that they're going to try to reinitiate or bring back the mask and the pandemic and stuff. He thinks that if they do that, then they pretty much got to shut the southern border down. They don't want to do that. So, and our financial system is so shaky and so fragile right now. He thinks that what they're going to do, these world elitists, and we know who they are, that they're going to get America involved in another war. This could be real bad. So it's going to be interesting to see how all this plays out over the next year and a half. You know, they're trying to indict the former President Trump on all these different charges, and they don't want him to be the Republican nominee. So this is getting ready to get pretty heated here, and it's going to be interesting to see how all this plays out. But I just want to make sure that I'm doing what I can to make preparations to be able to survive anything that might come our way. So we're harvesting our garden, and my wife and I are, she's been canning beans and beets and
that's wonderful.
About everything
that's
that
wonderful.
We grow. We do have our own water source here too. I had I got a drilled well on my property. It is an 8-inch casing that goes down 150 feet. It pumps out 50 gallons a minute, so I got plenty of fresh water. And I had a lady come in, and she put in what's called a simple pump. It's a little hand pump that you can work by hand to get water out of a drilled well that's in an 8-inch case drilled well with just a simple hand pump in case there's no electricity. And then I've got my own 1,500-gallon septic system and drain field. It's all gravity-fed. So worst-case scenario, if we couldn't get any water or anything, we could still go out. And I mean, if we didn't have power, I could still go out and get water out of the well, come in here and flush the toilets and stuff and have sanitation. But food storage and medicine and stuff like that, and make preparations for rough times that could come ahead. So we're facing some very challenging things in this country right now, and it's going to be interesting to see how that Yahweh brings all this about over the next year or two.
Well, one thing we know that the Bible says that we are in judgment now. But the thing is, he also said that judgment begins at the house of God. So the people of God are the ones that are being judged now. And that's what we're going through now. We're being judged and tested for our reactions to things, how we help our fellow believers, and what we do in Yahweh's plan. and what we do with what we know, and we use our gifts. And then after we are judged, then all hell is going to break loose on earth.
Yeah, I believe that. I do. I believe that Yahweh's people, the Anglo-Saxon, Germanic, Celtic peoples, white race, are being judged right now for their for turning their backs on Yahweh, and that they're getting ready to get spanked real hard.
Amen.
So.
Absolutely.
We're gonna
go, you're right, Jeffrey.
We're gonna go, I think we're going to go through some very, very challenging times here real soon, real soon. You know, these Democrats
already,
are in power.
It's already happening.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It really is. I mean, 2 days ago was the 22nd anniversary of 9/11, you know. And we know who did that. I mean, Christopher Bolin wrote books on it. There's guys, a lot of intelligent people out there that have studied it and looked at it, and it's very clear that it was a Zionist operation that was carried out by the CIA. And it's
Absolutely.
Been 22 years now, and Yahweh, a lot of God's people in this country have still never have figured it out. And even a lot of these so-called Republican conservatives, you know, the new Republican conservative crew, like your Mike Adams and General Flynn and Dr. Steve Curley and Mike Lindell and all these guys, they don't have a clue as to what happened on 9/11. And if they did, they wouldn't say nothing about it because they wouldn't have their podcast channels. But it's just so frustrating to me to know the truth and what's happened here, and to think that these Zionist Jews get away with it. They just get away with this stuff all the time. I mean,
they won't very long, because the Bible also says that I will destroy those who destroy the earth.
Yeah.
That's in the book of Revelation. So
their time is coming.
Pardon?
Yeah, their time is coming, and but they just keep getting away with it. I mean, look what they did to our president back in 1963 or 4, JFK. You know?
None of them are going to get away with anything.
Well, they got away with that, too, now up to this point.
They will not get away with it eventually. He said, vengeance is mine, I saith the Lord. I will repay.
Well, yeah, I know. And I'll be glad when that day comes.
I hate to be on their receiving end when their time comes.
Yeah. And then look what they did to the USS Liberty in 1967. You know, they tried to destroy that whole ship and kill everybody on it so they could drag us into another war. And I'll tell you right now that if JFK would have still been the president when that happened, there wouldn't be any State of Israel right now. But he wasn't. They'd already killed him. And Lyndon B. Johnson was the president. And he covered it up. But if JFK would have been alive, he would have smoked that country.
Well, we don't know what might have been or could have been or would have been or should have been. We just know what is now. And that, in my opinion, we've never had a good president. But that's just my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Because we've always had our presidents by vote, and the people's voice has never been counted. You get a choice of bad or worse.
Yeah.
Communist A or communist B?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I yield.
Oh, yeah. Well, I was just going to say, like I said, my throat's starting to close up here. We got Charles with us real quick. Let me see if he's got anything he wants to bring to the table. Welcome, Charles.
Hi, Dan. How's everything going?
Very good. We just talking about some of the things going on today and stuff, and touched on quite a few topics, really. But did you have something you want to get out to everybody?
Well, nothing specific, but I caught the tail end of the discussion there. It sounded really interesting, current political events and conspiracy theory type stuff, and I love that stuff. So I'm sorry I'm late, yeah, I'll kick back. I yield.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we're almost done for the night, really. So does anybody else?
Try to earlier next week.
Okay. Yeah. Very good. Any closing thoughts from anybody?
I'd add that the absolute last true elected president we had was Andrew Jackson, and he destroyed their bank, so they vowed to never again allow another president like Andrew Jackson. And since Andrew Jackson, we've always had a Jew-approved president.
That's a good point. Good point. That's
yep.
Right.
Very
nice. I agree with that.
Yep.
I do, too.
That's why I try to tell people, you're not going to vote your way out of this mess, folks. They want the easy way, the nonviolent way, the way that allows them to sit in their easy chair at night and sip on their beer and watch the football game and think that they're going to pull a lever in a booth somewhere and fix these problems. We're beyond that. This is not a matter that the ballot box is going to fix. The people have to rise up and take back their country. The Constitution allows us to do that. The Founding Fathers allowed us to do that. Our consciences allow us to do that. Natural law allows us to do that. And biblical law allows us to do that. So we have the moral high ground to do whatever we have to do to subdue the wicked and to reestablish and form new governments that secure our rights, our inalienable or unalienable rights, and do away with all this nonsense and reinstitute God's law, because the enemy, the Zionist communist pigs, have convinced our people through the churches to do away with most of our obedience to God's law, which is to execute rapists, murderers, traitors, kidnappers, and instead we put them in prison and make all of us pay to feed them, clothe them, provide for their medical care, etc., provide for Jewish prison industries to have free labor for anywhere from 20 to 50 years of their life, and we call that punishment. Yeah, it's our punishment, because there is no justice in that system, and the Jew at the courts, he makes money in the prisons, he makes money in the lawyers' offices, etc. So it's a Jewish harvest yet again on the misery and breaking the backs of the Anglo-Saxon Israelites. So once again, Esau, Edom is eating out of the sustenance of Jacob. And it's because Jacob refuses to recognize who he is and to implement the law. The real law, which is God's law, not man's law. Man's law is artificial law. There is no such thing as a righteous man's law. Man has no right to make law, any law. The law has already been written. It's on our hearts and written down in Scripture. That's it. That's the only law that we are ever allowed to have. It covers all the bases. If we could just implement those simple rules in that book, life would be very pleasant here on earth. So we don't need millions of statutes, regulations, executive orders. That's what the Jew, he knows you're too damn lazy to go read up on all these myriad of laws and regulations and statutes, etc. He knows that. So they can virtually say anything is the law and you wouldn't know any different. You're just going to bow down and kiss the feet on the serpent and allow them to get away with their murder and their mayhem and their total ungodliness, because we just refuse to obey our Father in heaven. That's a simple matter as that. We give reverence to man and man-made religions, man-made government, man-made this, man-made that, and turn our backs on the Creator. And then we wonder why nothing's working. pretty easy, as far as I can tell. Pretty easy to see. But any other closing comments?
I just wish everybody have a wonderful week coming, and may Yah bless you all, and just keep your strength up and your faith up and your hope that everything is going to work out His way, not our way.
Yeah, amen to that. All right, then. I'm going to go ahead and just mute everybody so it's nice and quiet, and then I'm going to close this out on prayer, in prayer here. Heavenly Father, we give You the praise, glory, and honor. We thank You for this opportunity to share with each other. And we just hope that people would come back to You. That's what this is all about. We need to come back to You, to be Your children, to be Your servants, to be Your ambassadors upon this earth, and to hold You up as the single source of our moral code and law. We need to forsake and repent of chasing after man's law and man's money, and allowing that to cause us to violate Your law and also to violate each other. So for those of us that recognize that and are doing our best, we just pray that you'll lift everyone up and give them a hedge of protection against the evildoers in this world. And we pray for Your coming to be soon, and to establish Your jurisdiction over this entire world, and to get rid of those who would do evil and harm to all this earth. We ask all these things in Yahweh's precious name. Hallelujah.